Which is just an overview and an outline of the themes of last week.
So that is going
to be the nature of that particular report. I hope every member has got it in front of you. We are going to go through so that you make sure that the things that were raised last week when we were asking questions and listening to the department, those issues are ones that are what is in the report. But before we go into the report, I thought that there was a request from the DA last week when we were in the portfolio committee, which was about having the department to come and present its program or its own combat readiness report. I have taken up what the DA has asked us to do, and we have officially written a letter to the minister to inquire if it's going to be possible for them to come and do the presentation. What I'm told by the ministry and what I've received is that the ministry won't, the sector has not yet even briefed the minister himself, so they then felt that they should not be able to come and present the committee. So they themselves as the ministry seems not to know, have not yet received the report, so they couldn't allow me to come to our side. Then there was a second request from the DA in that particular request of that, can we have that report being done quite openly? Now, the combat readiness report, in most of the history of Parliament here, it has always been done in confidentiality by the defense. And we then went about checking the rules of Parliament. The rules of Parliament, in essence, doesn't speak to how do you handle issues of confidentiality. We then opted for an option that says would allow ourselves to come here and talk to it as members of Parliament. And given that we would understand what confidentiality would mean for this committee in relation to combat readiness, we thought we'd make a decision ourselves, you see, and as a committee to go. And also the one part that I was waiting for was a letter written by the department itself to explain to us how confidential would they want that report to be, or what do they think about the report itself. So that letter has not yet arrived on my desk. So I'm putting it up to the committee members to know that we have acted on the matters that the members have requested us to do, but the issue of confidentiality remains open. We need to guide ourselves on how do we do about it, and the issue that the ministry says they aren't ready at this particular moment, they have not gone through the report itself, so we can't take the report ourselves at this particular moment until the ministry is quite ready. I hope members understand what I'm saying. Those are the two reports in front of us, and that was coming because the DA has put that request to us and we have responded to your request. I can give it over to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. First, let me first thank you for addressing the issue and responding to my request so quickly and so promptly. Let me make two comments. The first is, I find it astounding that the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans, after more than a month of being incumbent for more than a month, has in fact not received a briefing on the readiness of the SANDF. I mean, that truly is astounding. One would expect that briefing to take place almost immediately after the minister has been appointed. And I don't think it's acceptable. And I don't think that we should accept that the program of this committee should be determined and should fit in with the minister's program. instance, if the minister has not been available to receive the briefing, then that's something that the minister and the ministry need to grapple with. It's not, in my view, for this committee to fit in with the minister's program. That's the first point. The second point is on the issue of whether the combat readiness briefing should be an open or closed briefing. And I really hope, Chair, that all members of our committee really grapple with this issue. I mean, the Constitution, I mean, we're all aware, and in a constitutional democracy, information held by the state is, in the first instance, public information, and the Constitution provides for that. I mean, Section 32.1 of the Constitution says that everyone has the right to access to information. But we do have to accept that in the national security, if you like, environment, that there may be legitimate limitations to what information can be disclosed. And we need to apply our minds to where that line is. What the real balance between transparency and secrecy is in respect of the defense force. And it's a very hard problem, and I hope that we apply our minds and that we grapple with exactly where that line is, and that we don't simply raise the white flag and roll over and accept the defense force's view that the military should be a closed briefing. In the public interest and in the Defence Force's interest, that the state of the Defence Force be out in the public and be known. But once again, thank you for taking up this issue, Chair.
Is there any other members got any other comments?
No, Chairperson, well, I don't disagree very much with you that the Constitution says. Well, we all have access to the to information. But even information, we should remember that there is what is called classified information. So that although we have access to information as citizens of a country, there are certain types of information which cannot be made public. That is why you find that issue of information is classified. It will be classified for 20, 30, sometimes 50 years. And only after that period is then unclassified. So that I don't think we should insist that the army should tell us everything. Even though we have access to information, they are not compelled to tell us everything. We should be satisfied if they say, no, people, this type of information we cannot disclose. But some type of information will open to disclose, but not everything. You should accept that.
But, Chair, I don't think the Honourable Member and myself are in disagreement here. I mean, I do accept that that some information, particularly in the national security context, cannot be disclosed. And I would argue that the line is actually quite simple. The line is, if the disclosure of information would substantially affect the life of a serving member of the SANDF or an existing operation, then that information should not be disclosed. But I would argue that in respect of the combat readiness briefing, that maybe 10%, or at least we could say a limited amount of information in that briefing would probably then fall under that limitation. And it's for this committee to grapple with a very hard problem. This is not an easy problem, this is a hard problem. But if we don't grapple with it, I would go so far as to say that we then really cease to be a constitutional democracy. This is what we do in democracy, we grapple with these kinds of hard problems. And this will be a challenge for our committee over the next 5 years. But, Chair, the point, the practical point now is where do we go from here? I mean, there seems to be a trend. Last week, we understood that the military were, the chief of the SANDF and the four service chiefs were going to come before this committee. They did not bother to pitch up. I understood that we would receive a response from the military about their response to this matter in writing. As far as I'm aware, we have not received that response. General van Rensburg on Friday committed to giving us a written response about the state of the South African Air Force and the shortage of pilots. I'm not aware that we received that response. Now, my question to you is the ministry and is the Department of Defense taking this committee seriously? I'm not sure that they are.
No, I don't want to run into conclusions, but your opinions are quite clear. The one on the confidentiality one, as you are saying, it remains a debate amongst ourselves here every time that we have to deal with certain issues that concern the SNDM. I know that sometimes in the life of Parliament we had an issue that related to how much aid are intended to the soldiers, and it became a real debate then, and how much of that information must be disclosed. Such information sometimes is quite well to express it to the public so that they can know, but also in other side of it does affect the capacity of the SNDM. So those issues, as I'm saying, I'll always bring them to the table, and always before we start that the particular issue, we take a line on it as what is our own thinking and what does parties do. So we will definitely be doing that one. With our side as a parliament, we have shown a sense of being quite ready to engage the department itself. We are quite ready even to go into the budget vote. And I'm quite confident the information that we have shared as members of parliament has made us to be in a capacity. But as has been promised, we have written a formal letter to the ministry again to ask them to at least come and see parliament itself and engage with the committee before we go into the budget vote. That's one of the requests. I haven't yet received a response in relation to that matter itself. So we are waiting for the department to put its organization into place. So we are really waiting for a response from all these things. I mean, we have done our own side, as I've shown, that we have written letters more than just talking about verbatim report. We have given letters to the minister who would want to see all these issues, minister who would want to get to give us the soldiers that would come and report to us. So we are quite ready. But as I'm saying, we are waiting for the department to come through and the minister to come through. We are going to attend to that particular matter. I don't think it's any bad side, I mean, bad from her side. No, she don't want to watch it. I mean, she's got a good reputation as a minister within parliament that has worked very well with her own portfolio committee. I might just say that she's afraid that she has just come into the department. She's ministered into a soon. It is maybe just trying to adjust herself, but overall, I think we will work on improving that part of the relationship so that she could be able to come and attend to the committee work. But once it's on that, we'll continue to do our work. We will engage the minister. I mean, I'm going to work on her to come and talk to the committee about some of the issues that you're concerned about. Because there's no way the president has promised us that ministers must be held accountable by parliament. So within that context, be it ANC, be it any party, be it PAC, be whoever, it's upon ourselves to fulfill that particular mandate of making sure that ministers remain accountable to parliament itself. And I'm sure we will definitely do that within our own side. Now, when you are finishing those issues, members, because I don't want to keep you here for a very long time, I hope you are preparing for your debate on Friday. But at least we need to, for the sake of Parliament, we need to agree and have a look at the report. How many pages is the report? The report that we have in front of us, prepared by Mandy, which takes us through all the various people that have presented to us. Does it cover the military status? members. I see Mendy says there's an expectation by Parliament that we need to work on about 10 pages of this report. And then at the end of that 10 pages, we need to work on recommendations in the report itself. That's how Parliament works. It wants this report. Now, I don't want to hijack you today. I don't know if you would want to have the inner position to say we'll go through the report or you want to. We do have certain recommendations that we want to make, and we start with that one. For tomorrow, we still have another day. We are going to go into the report again, and then finalize it and adopt it for itself in process in Parliament. I just want us to find out how we want to adopt it now. Do you want to go through the whole report, or do you have some recommendations after visiting the department?
No, I'm not making any suggestion except to say that I would like to be excluded for the first 12.
You should be finished by that.
Yeah, I'm going to go and sit in one of the recite over one of the budget books.
Yeah.
But I would like to be excluded for the first 12.
You see, that's why I'm looking for a way of how do we handle the report itself.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Looking at the report itself, it's a 10-page report, and obviously we cannot do it now. Since tomorrow we still have another day, I was thinking that if we could just maybe take it home, go through it, and then tomorrow, if there's any addition, subtraction, or contribution, then we just.
Yes, we are having a PC tomorrow, sir. That's why I was saying give us a recommendation. But if you can make it, we'll go ahead and take and adopt the report tomorrow. But I don't want us to put those members into something that it could have substantial, for reflection about their own work. And they see it in the order paper and everything, and they start asking questions about they agree on that thing, and it changes if it's a chairperson's point of view. So the best thing that you could do is that we take what he is suggesting, that I give you an evening, you reflect on the report, and then tomorrow we all work on recommendations and everything.
Could I make a suggestion? I would propose that we go through the report. That we then open the floor to discussion for issues of clarification. We then reflect on the report this evening and come back to the hard business of making recommendations during the meeting tomorrow. That would be my proposal.
Is that okay, Member?
Yeah, I just accept this suggestion, because personally, speaking for myself, even tonight I won't be able to do it. Because after 5 o'clock I've got a meeting with the president lasting from 5 to 7. By the time I finish, I'll be tired. I just want to go home and never rest. I won't be able to do anything. So I accept the suggestion.
No, that's good, Tata. Okay. I'll allow Mindy to take you through the report itself. And when one clarity, we all apply our minds to clarity.
Introduction. The Portfolio Committee on Defence considered the 2009-10 budget of the Department of Defence on 17 June 2009 as part of its oversight function of the department. Those appearing before the committee included Mr. T. E. Matuni, Acting Secretary for Defence, Mr. C. D. C.B.M. Motuane, Acting Chief Financial Officer, Dr. T. Damede, Chief of Defence Policy Strategy and Planning, Lieutenant General J. R. Janssen van Densburg, Chief of Corporate Staff, SANDF, Lieutenant General V. I. Ramlakan, Surgeon General SANDF, Brigadier General C.H. Leroux, Colonel E. van der Post, Mr. S.D. Dladler, Sierra Tomo, representatives from the Office of the Auditor General and National Treasury also attended the meeting. Information contained in the report is based on the department's presentation, the 2009 estimates of national expenditure, as well as strategic objectives for the 2009 to 2011-12 financial year. Time constraints and demands of the parliamentary calendar frustrated the vigorous interrogation of Budget Note 19, and the committee report is thus not as comprehensive as it would like it to be. At the time of writing this report, the Department's strategic business plan had not been formally tabled in Parliament. The committee thus considered the Department's budget alongside a draft document, and the thorough engagement with the details of the strategic objectives was limited. However, the overview provided of aspects of the draft document serves as a reference for the committee when planning its oversight activities. Details of the most appropriate institutional design and associated costs relating to military veterans are not yet known. This is a key shortcoming, and the committee intends to hold regular briefings with the department to review the progress made on the design and implementation of the new structures, as well as the budget for its administration, together with the implementation of other strategic objectives. These interactions are opportunities for the committee to pursue many of the concerns not raised at the budget briefing. Overview of policy priorities for 2019 financial year. The Department of Defense continues to balance its dual responsibilities of being ready to protect and defend the country and its territorial integrity, while at the same time sustaining its participation in peace support operations. For the 2019 financial year, the Department recommitted itself to the prioritization of the following matters: the formulation and implementation of the defense strategy responsive to current and emerging needs, maintenance of infrastructure and facilities and the implementation of the works regiment, the rejuvenation and upgrade of the landward defense program, revitalization of the reserve forces, and information technology. Alignment with government priorities is reflected in the department's involvement in the following government clusters: justice, crime prevention, and security cluster. The department will conduct monthly reviews of the case flow management of the military justice system as part of the national effort to improve the capacity of the criminal justice system. SANDF presence at borders will continue, although it was due to hand over border control to the South African Police Service by April 2009. The implementation of rural development plans will continue, replacing the commando system with the SAPS reserve system. In order for the development and implementation of a strategy to manage military veterans affairs, the department will interact within the cluster to develop appropriate policy proposals. Through the military skills development strategy, the rejuvenation of the SNDF with young and fit members will continue, and is set to increase to 10 intakes per annum. International relations, peace and security cluster. The department reports a need for a suitable strategic position to guide its African agenda. It supports the Department of International Relations and Cooperation's view of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation's review of the White Paper on Peace Mission. It intends to suitably qualified personnel for the South African Development Community and African Union Commission and its contribution to enhancing the capacity of these bodies. Participation in post-conflict reconstruction continues, and focus will be on the missions in Sudan and Democratic Republic of the Congo. Participation in peacekeeping missions in the DRC and Darfur will continue. Continental peace and stability and the promotion of South-South cooperation will continue. SNDF members will continue its participation in the task force in Burundi and the Central Republic of the Congo. Central African Republic. Participation in the Trilateral Defense Committee of India, Brazil, and South Africa continues. Governance and administration cluster. In line with the national priority, the department will ensure the timely finalization of performance agreements and alignment of key performance areas and key performance indicators with key strategic objectives of each departmental program. Economic cluster. The sustainability of defense strategic capabilities, as well as the widening of the industrial participation, remain central focus areas. A persistent difficulty remains the restructuring of the defense sector entities to ensure improved safeguarding of the department's intellectual property. The establishment of a small medium enterprise procurement call center is a key departmental priority. 2.3, the department will intensify its efforts to improve its internal risk management system to address current challenges. These include the continued deterioration of infrastructure, equipment and facilities due to insufficient funding for maintenance and repairs, the continued loss of scarce skills to the private sector, the provision of an updated defense-related internal administrative system for finance, human resources and procurement, and servicing memoranda of understanding. In responding to the State of the Nation address, the department committed itself to the following. Through the MSDF, the department will contribute to the acceleration of economic growth, the transformation of the economy, and the creation of decent work. The current departmental land restitution program is aligned to the national priority of implementing a comprehensive rural development strategy linked to agrarian reform and food security. The two-phase skills retention and recruitment strategy will be reviewed in an effort to respond to the national call for the enhancement of skills and human resources. Contributing to the intensified fight against crime and corruption, the department will continue to support the SAPS in internal crime prevention, interventions and borderline control. Strategies combating fraud and criminality will be further implemented. Overview of the 2010 budget, 2019 budget and alignment to strategic objectives. 3.1, expenditure change. The department received an increased budget allocation of 32 billion rand compared to the 28.2 billion rand received the previous financial year. This represents an 8.9% real increase in its total budgetary allocation. Over the current medium-term expenditure framework period, the defense budget is expected to increase to approximately 34.4 billion in 2011-12. Current budget projections exclude that needed for the administration of military pensions. The total defense budget as a share of the gross domestic product has steadily declined from 1.62% in 2002-03 to the current 1.3%. In order for the realization of the proposed credible force design and force structure, as well as support to the government priorities and peace support operations, the department in view that is needed a total budgetary allocation of at least two percent of the GDP. The declining defense budget negatively impacted on the already declining defense capabilities, its force preservation, and the operationalization of its newly required prior mission equipment. Trends in the allocations to the departmental programs indicate that the air defense program once again received the largest increased allocation, 32.8%, followed by the land with defense, 27.34%, and general support program, 10.44%. The force employment program received the largest budget cut of 5.45% in real terms, but active participation in continental peace support operations remains a high priority. Given the above mentioned budgetary constraints, the department submitted the following policy options, which will have an impact on the funding needs for the 2010-11 financial year. The establishment of a military veterans management organizational structure, occupational specific compensation and allowances, remuneration for salary level 1 to 12, the rejuvenation of mainly South African Army prime mission equipment, funding for the operationalization of the strategic defense packages, continuation training for the reserves, completion of the Air Force Base Bartikoff runway, enhancement of information technology through the Defense Enterprise Information System. Allocations for program. Program 1, administration. The administration program deals with policy development, management and administration of the department and receives a total allocation of 2.86 billion rand. It comprises sub-programs such as ministerial and departmental direction, policy and planning, financial services, SANDF command and control, acquisitions, human resources and legal services. Key strategic objectives for the current financial year include the development of defense policy that is aligned with government policy, the attainment of consensus on defense policy, the development of a framework for systematic monitoring and evaluation. As stated above, the The total allocation to this program is 2.86 billion rand and is expected to increase to 36% to do the complete center. Okay. The legal services sub-program received the most substantial increase, 18.75%, due to implementation of an occupation-specific accreditation for legal practitioners. The policy and planning sub-program's allocation has decreased by 44.45%. Program 2, Landward Defense. This program provides prepared and supported landward defense capabilities for the defense and protection of South Africa. This includes sub-programs such as infantry capability, armor capability, artillery capability, air defense artillery capability, engineer capability, general training capability, as well as signal capability. For the current financial year, key strategic objectives include the provision of 3 infantry battalions for external deployment, 1 air-landed battalion, and 2 multi-role battalions in reserve, and 4 battalions involved in exercise. 1 tank regiment and 1 armored car regiment will be provided, while 1 composite artillery, 1 light artillery battery, and light battery reserve will be funded.
Okay. At that page, before you proceed, says paragraph.
Yes.
Send bullets from the top.
Yeah.
You say actually above the total allocation for the program is that, yeah. And they spread it to increase to what you get?
Landward Defense received an 8.74.
Where are you now? On the program, the second program.
3.22.
Yeah.
3.22 is the third.
3.22.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
The third.
This one. Landward.
The Landward, yeah.
Landward Defense received an 8.74 billion rand allocation, and this is expected to increase over the next 3 years to 9.98 billion rand in financial year 2011-2012. Increased funding will also be utilized to fund the increasing number of NSDS members to manage the increased maintenance requirements of the SA Army's aging operational vehicle fleet, to initiate the Landward Defense Equipment Renewal Project, to procure critical ammunition, and to establish the works regiment. The strategic direction sub-program has increased by 221.08% to make provision for military exercises, one focusing on the integration of the MSC members and the other on the airborne part of the MSCA. Program 3, Air Defense. This program provides prepared and supported air defense capabilities for the defense and protection of South Africa. Air defense capabilities include helicopter capabilities, transport and maritime surveillance capability, air combat capability, air-based support capability, command and control capability, and training capability. Strategically, the department aims to provide 4 helicopter and 1 combat squadron, 1 maritime and transport squadron, 3 medium transport squadrons, 1 light transport squadron, and 9 reserve squadrons at the required readiness level. 1 air combat squadron and a 24-hour air command and control capability will also be funded. Total budget allocation for the current financial year is 10.27 billion rand, which will decrease to 9.4 billion rand in financial year 2011-12. The Air Combat Capability Sub-Program received the largest share of the allocation, 41.86%, due to the production and delivery milestone, the Gripen Advanced Light Fighter Aircraft Project, expected to peak in financial year 2009-10. The Transport and Maritime Capability Sub-Program consumes 25.92% of the program's budget, a substantial increase of 54.38% owing to the Strategic Airlift Capability Program. The 27.21% increase in the Training Capability Sub-Program should be utilized to accommodate the increased interest of NSDS members. The considerable decrease of 34.5% 6% in the helicopter capability program can be attributed to the finalization of the Marathon helicopter project in 2009-10. Program for Maritime Defense. This program provides prepared and supported maritime defense capabilities for the defense and protection of South Africa. Sub-programs include maritime combat capability, maritime training capability, and base support capability. For the current financial year, the department will provide and sustain the operations of a surface combat capability of 4 frigates, 1 combat support vessel, 3 offshore patrol vessels, 3 inshore patrol vessels, and a maritime reaction squadron in each operational cycle. Furthermore, it must provide a subsurface capability of 3 submarines in each operational cycle, 2 mine countermeasure systems in each operational cycle to ensure safe access to South African harbors and mine clearance capacity when needed. An ongoing hydrographic survey capability must also be maintained to ensure safe navigation in charting areas and to meet international obligations. The program received 1.964 billion rand for the current financial year, which is expected to increase to 2.14 billion rand over the next 3 financial years. The Maritime Combat Capability Sub-Program, which provides mission-ready and supported maritime defense capabilities in accordance with the approved force design of the department, accounts for the largest portion of the program's total budget, 26.88%. Although the Maritime Training Capability Sub-Program utilizes only 11.17% of the program's budget, it received the largest increase of 23.82%. to fund the increased number of MSCS members. Program 5, Military Health Support. The Military Health Support Program provides and prepares supported health capabilities and services for the defense and protection of South Africa, and sub-programs include mobile military health support, area military health service, and specialist or tertiary military health service, military health product support capability, base support, and military health training. Key strategic objectives include the provision of 1 conventional medical battalion group, 1 specialist battalion group, and 3 reserve battalion groups, and the realization of a comprehensive multidisciplinary health service to a patient population of 230,000 patients per year. This program received a real increase of 7.79% to fund the higher than average increase in the remuneration of health professionals, the antiretroviral rollout, and the increase in the MSCS intake. The specialist tertiary health service and area military health service sub-programs consume 53.64% and 51.93% respectively, the largest portions of the program's total budget. The Military Health Product Support Capability Sub-Program has increased significantly with 36.76%. This increase is partially due to the launch of the Defense Against Chemical and Biological Warfare Project, the planned building of a new military health depot, and the improvement and maintenance of the health informatics system. In line with the priorities of the government and the department, the Military Health Training Capability Sub-Program has increased with 23.57% to accommodate the increased number of MSCS members. Program 6, Defense Intelligence. This program provides for defense and counterintelligence capability and has an allocated budget of 589 million rand. This is expected to increase to 646 million rand in financial year 2011-12. The program consumes the smallest portion of the department's total budget, 1.8%, but has increased by 7.94%. This is due to the anticipated investment in a strategic information collection capability and is in line with the department's priority to improve its intelligence capacity. The development of this capability is vested within the operations sub-program, which explains why the sub-program consumes the largest part of the program budget, 66.64%, and has received the biggest increase within the program. Program 7, General Support.
something?
No.
Michael, you might be quiet.
Oh.
Program 7, General Support. This program focuses on the provision of general support, capabilities and services for the department, and sub-programs include joint logistics services, property management, command management information systems, and military police. Strategically, the department aims to repair and maintain one joint logistic operational support unit, one ordnance depot, three ammunition depots, one technical service unit, and one mobilization center. It will further ensure 90% serviceability of deployed equipment by providing a joint logistical operational support group, repair and maintain the department's infrastructure at 33 bases over the next 3 years, ensuring that the time frame service is available 98% of the time, and the wide area network 95% of the time, providing information communication system solutions in accordance with the Defense Information Systems Master Plan, and reducing the number of criminal cases under investigation by military police by 5%, and sustaining one for deployment. Area? For the investigation and crime prevention and multi-correctional facility. Total budget allocation for the current financial year is 3.34 billion rand, as expected to marginally increase to 3.96 billion rand in 2011-2012. This is the third largest program in the department, comprising 10.44% of the department's total expenditure. Challenges relating to the poor condition of defense facilities will be addressed. The Joint Logistics Services sub-program consumes the largest portion of the program's budget, 40.51%, and an increase of 7.85%, mainly to repair and maintain defense infrastructure and facilities, and to upgrade the runways and hard stands at the Air Force Base Baltimore. Program 8, Force Employment. Force Employment provides an employee defense. Force Employment provides an employee defense capabilities, which include an operational capability to successfully conduct all operations and joint interdepartmental and multinational military exercises. This program comprises 6 sub-programs, which include strategic direction, operational direction, special operations, regional security, support to the people, and defense capability management. As key strategic objectives, the department aims to provide an employee special operations capability in accordance with national requirements, conduct an annual 20 external peace missions, conduct 24 JIM military force preparation exercises over the next 3 years, and undertake missions in support of government departments and international obligations. 1.8 billion rand has been allocated to this program and constitutes 5.63% of the department's budget. This is a decrease of 5.45% in comparison to the 2008-09 allocation. The UN Peace Mission in the DRC and Special Operations Sub-Programs continue to consume the largest portion of the program's budget, 13.69% and 22.44% respectively. The budget allocations for sub-program African Union missions in Sudan have increased with a staggering 370.85% in comparison to the 2008-09 financial year. Committee observations. The committee appreciates the concerns raised by the department regarding its budget challenges and the impact this had on its ability to fulfill its constitutionally mandated obligations. We also recognize that while an increase in funding for the department must be considered, the department should also ensure the maximum efficiency in the use of finance resources, which can only be achieved if budgetary planning and expenditure are aligned with defense policy and subjected to appropriate internal controls. The renaming of the department to include military veterans emphasizes the national importance of providing for the well-being of this neglected sector of our society. The committee identified the following pressing matters. Information regarding the design of the most appropriate organizational structure for military veterans, the associated costs, and how funding will be sourced with establishment and the provision of services are still largely unknown. While the committee is aware that to date the directors of military veterans has largely been responsible for the development and implementation of programs aimed at improving the well-being of military veterans, the success of such programs remains largely untested. The committee questions the pace and quality of the transformation of the SANDF into an appropriately skilled gender and demographically represented defense force, especially as it relates to the ability to operate and maintain newly acquired defense equipment. In this vein, vital statistics regarding the racial and gender representativity in relation to defense capabilities and skill sets are not known, and this is needed to evaluate the progress made in the transformation of the SANDF. While the committee believes that the department could contribute to combating crime, it believes that an appropriate role for the defense force has yet to be developed. The committee is of the opinion that the SANDF could greatly contribute in ensuring the safety and security of South Africans, rather than merely focusing on crime prevention. I will miss of SANDF members in the absence of any external success remains a cause of concern. Creative strategies must be developed to increase the department's involvement in the socio-economic and educational development of South Africa. Cognizant of potential irregularities in the procurement of defense equipment, the committee recognizes the need for strategies to ensure maximum transparency in and integrity of the planned procurement process of landward defense equipment. The committee recognizes the impact the initiative could have on both the rejuvenation of the SANDF as well as strengthening its skills base. However, follow-up information on the employment status of those intakes that have completed their training is needed to assess the system's impact on employment creation. The attendance of the heads of each arm of service at future budget and annual report briefings are vital. The committee expressed concern over the absence of these officials and will schedule regular combat readiness briefings of the SANDF to monitor to which extent the defense force can fulfill its obligations. The shortage of technical skills in the SANDF, particularly pilots and engineers, is a cause of concern. The committee also notes with concern that such information could not readily be provided by the department, but would conduct follow-up meetings to assess the skill shortage in the department.
That's the presentation of the
paragraph. You can see there's quite a lot of issues that we, like the 4.5, you know that we increase on page 10. We need to be very emphatic about that transparency and openness about, because if you are going to agree, you don't want to repeat having another unpackaged problem. You do need that openness when you are going to do that for the landward program. The MSDS program, honorable members, is a very important program because you see, it brings in young people into the defense and they are being trained for different areas, either for landward or air force. But sometimes these young children are being recruited in the different institutions and being brought there. And after they've got their training, sometimes the department itself doesn't take them up. So you find that these young people have been trained in the country and they have been left out. So it's important for us to know what is going on in the relations that are going on. On your 4.8, your facilities. Facilities are very much important. As you are going to be monitoring the department, the landlord, their bases are really crippled. And they have got a lot of facilities. We'll go into those facilities, but we find that some of them are not up to standard. You see, so it does compromise the issue of the readiness of the defense itself. So combat readiness, why you really need to understand the defense. Because if you deploy people in the peacekeeping mission, or you want them to be deployed inside the country to assist in combating crime, you need to understand the capacity of the defense itself. Are they ready?
do they have that particular capacity? As I'm saying, it's a question that sometimes you find that they are not in that level. Sometimes, as I said, there are issues of age that confront them. So they've got problems among themselves, capacity. That's why the question that was raised by one of the honorable members, that can't we have that type of information? So that information is very vital for all of you to understand, you know, what that they're doing in my time. So I'm raising some of these issues. You remember on 4.1, the issue of the meltdown. The fact that the past committee said that we needed to help with building the financial capacity or increase the percentages for the GDP of the department. Now, you know, that the comment of the ministry talks about the meltdown, and that opinion was made while it was not considering the meltdown itself. So we should not, as we see these increases, we need to put it at the back of our mind that they themselves, because sometimes the department, when they go to these peacekeeping missions, they are being paid by the UN, they are not being paid by South Africa sometimes. And it then means that income, because the first thing they usually do, they take money from special accounts and pay in the meantime for the members that they are there in the peacekeeping missions. And the money that comes from the UN takes a lot of delay. So it does cripple at some other depth. How effective is the department itself and how money comes there. So sometimes you get soldiers when you meet them in the peacekeeping missions or they are coming back, that they are grumbling because they have not been paid their stipends in terms of the foreign income that they are getting. So we need to be aware of that development, we need to investigate it, we need to question it. If you remember the lady said that they just write off 2 billion. That was quite surprising, the way she was talking. She told us it is a small price because of the market relation. But we need to go into that issue. We need not to leave it as like that. So I'm saying that this is the report in front of you, honorable members. I do hope that it reflects what we've been discussing. I know the challenges that we are having is to deal with this. This is what the minister was important for her to come in front of us. Is to explain to us how is she going to constitute this military veteran. Is it within department? From our side now, it's quite clear that even if she created task force or what, that's not what the mandate of the president has been saying. He spoke about them creating a department that has got the defense of the army, defense and military veteran. So the sector by asking to do a formal, then he must bring a formal letter that explains to us what it is that you are supposed to do. So it has not yet been made available, but we need to look into that. But essentially also, you know, I was in the Eastern Cape yesterday. It's important for us to know that for the constitutionally the department is more national, you see. It doesn't have provincial competence. But if you create a department of military veterans, which are more based in communities, how are you going to structure that? It's a question that I think because of your work that you are doing, you have to monitor that. Now we need to be able to understand that design, because you can't have a department only at national and then it doesn't talk to provinces. And provinces over some time, even though in the Western Cape, people have had particular diseases or particular, I mean, like departments which have been helping with military veterans. Now, I was saying, if you want to deal with the issue of housing, we don't expect the system to take over that responsibility, but we need to know what is going to happen in relation to military veterans so that you don't talk as members to an issue that doesn't. So, that detail is the detail that we expect the minister to come and explain to us. Now, she, you know, through your office, would it be nice for you to please prepare you to come, because it's important for members of parliament to understand those issues, you see, because if you don't understand them, you might end up saying my name must go to the military veteran to do what you don't know. You know, that's one big challenge that you need to do. The 3.2 is that forced employment is very much important. Members must grapple with that. I know it has, even with the issue that relates to borderline,
if you look at what at the first page where it seems a little bit unclear. That's the method of critique. Do you know why it's an important thing that you must really sort out?
Two point three. You see, government in the past have said that the SNGF must keep away from the borders, and that was then given over to SAPS. Now, if you see the recent statement of the Minister of Safety, he then demands that the SNDF must come into the country. Now, we are not sure the department, what does that imply, you see. And he then said they must take over the border, you see. It's in safety, but it's not the Ministry in Defense that has spoken to the issue and how it is budgeted for. It does bring a little bit of conflict, you know. You have said it publicly. Now, it does raise a lot of questions. Do we still go ahead of keeping them off the borderline, or do we bring them back to the borderline? We need to clarify ourselves to that. Now, the ministry is the only one that can give us a sense that what is exactly the challenge there, and what is it that they are being told. We might endorse it, and we might be endorsing something that she has not agreed to. But it's an outstanding area that is quite daring that we need to be able to. So I'm just saying, members, these are the issues. You could have a look at your report, and at the end of the day, we all can look at the recommendations tomorrow. But these are the challenges.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is on the defense program 3, actually. I'm just seeking clarity here with regard to page 6. Program 3, that is the air defense. On the last, on program 3, the third bullet up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that state, a considerable increase of 34.56% in the helicopter capability subprogram. That can be attributed to the finalization of the maritime helicopter.
Yeah.
Project of 2009. Now, the problem, the question there, Chair, is that there was this beautiful program by the defense of the Roy Flack. You remember that program? What happened? Was it discontinued? And then is this one taking over, or what? What
was
the problem with that program? Thank you.
No, the difficulty with that program out of where I was is the Royal Park couldn't be sold internationally. So it's supposed to be bought by the SNDF itself. But at that stage, we had been spending money on the landlord, not on the landlord, but on the air defense. So it was not really incorporated into that. So there's been. It's an outstanding area that we need to be able to attend to. That's why she, in the report you hear them talking about what is this, about how you bring all the different areas. People who are setting arms or building arms, genetic and others together so that you could be able to see exactly what it could be. But the real form couldn't be marketed. Either it could be improper marketed or it couldn't be. And the SNDF in the landlord program would have to see if they are able to buy it. But it doesn't have selling area itself. It's a very efficient thing, but you know, technology has advanced. It seems as if around the world they are no more ready to receive such a big helicopter. But it's a question that we could continuously engage into and ask exactly from the department. That's why we needed to see them again to understand from them what is going on. Is there something else, members, that you don't understand that I can try to answer on behalf of the department? I'm not sure if you can believe it. Yeah.
you see the joint program. It's an important program because that's why when you spoke about the time and that has been given to them. It's what is called gym. Joint.
That's
3.28. It says for employment. 3.28. Now you see what is important with that program. It is when you bring the Air Force, Land Guard. If you have an operation in Sudan, you bring all of them under one program so that you could spawn. You take your Land Guard, you take intelligence, you take Air Force. You think? Yeah. These are the what it means that all of them have been brought together and they then have a particular program. In the department alone, and also they then work out their operations as joint. They don't work independently, whether what is on its own, or Air Force is on its own, or maritime is on its own. But they've all been brought into that joint program. And then
can you phrase this properly, I'm sure that it's understood?
Joint interdepartmental.
Yeah, I mean the wording here.
What does it say, sir?
When I'm alone, I want to understand what I'm reading.
Yes, sir, I'm fine.
It's first employment for wife.
Yes, first employment, that's how it is.
What
do
you want to say?
No, what it says, that's the language of the defense.
Yeah, what does it
say? It says it's first employment. First employment means...
No, I think what he needs to get, but it's written first employment provides an employee. And then I think it should be first employment provides an employee defense capability.
Employee, not employees.
I didn't hear you.
No, she was correcting now.
Employment provides
and employee defense capability.
Does it make sense now?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So this is what is important about this particular, and you must be able to understand. But that's where mostly the deployments that go towards Africa are being finalized and being put together. Is there anything that honorable members don't understand? Is that it?
Thank you, Chair. Just a question for clarification. At our meeting tomorrow, how much latitude will we have to suggest changes to the report? Will we have latitude to suggest changes?
As long as it's with me, as long as it's within this forum, it's your forum as the members of parliament.
Okay.
And then you can engage and exchange views, and then we take the final view.
Okay.
As much as you can, because this is your report at the end of the day. And it reflects who you are. If you seem not to understand the issue, you just process it, and then tomorrow you complain about it.
Okay. But tomorrow we will have latitude to recommend changes to the report, and then we'll grapple with the final recommendation.
It will just be adopted by all of you tomorrow in the same committee.
Thank you.
Okay.
As long as you agree to the reports and whatever the recommendations that we put forward.
Yeah. That's right. That's why I'm giving you an opportunity to go and read it, work on it, and then tomorrow morning we'll be listening to exchange of yours. Vibrantly so. That we could have a report that can be put in front of Parliament. And then I do hope that members, they are receptive members to help you in any other issue that you are not ready. Mandy has shown her capacity to be able to interact and be able to guide members on a number of issues. Those that are going to be preparing for the debate, for the budget vote on Friday, make use of Mandy.
Maggie.
Okay, that's fine. Maggie. Let's make use of them to be able to grapple with the issue. But even beyond that, continue talking to them so that we could be able to help you to have a better input into and have a pattern of monetary mechanism in parliament, so that you don't sit in it and be led by a department and not hearing what the department says, and you don't have the capacity. At this moment, they're going to exploit lack of knowledge. And I mean, you know, officials, they abuse this period. So they think that they belong in the department and they'll tell you whatever they think is going on, and you then accept what they say. But from what I've been mandated to do is to make sure that members of parliament have the capacity to ask and interrogate what the department is bringing in front of them. That capacity, we must always talk about it. Although, I mean, I would always want to see or hear from members what is it that they think should be added to help them to understand some of the issues that I get to confront with. Also, when sometimes an official, don't be shy to raise the issue when an official, you don't understand what he is saying. Be very aggressive. I mean, tell me so that I can give you the right to question the particular official. Because if you leave officials to do as they like, they go with an impression that you don't understand what the department is doing, and then for them it's like they have come to parliament, they've reported, and then they go about doing as much as they can. Members, let me conclude and leave the meeting. You want to say something?
Yes, yes sir.
Maybe just on page 5, that missing information. Day 3.2, location for program, and then 3.2.1, program administration, the third bullet. If I may, I just want to suggest what is the amount there.
Okay.
It says, as stated above, the total location of to this program is 2.86 billion, and it's expected to increase to 3.1 billion in 2010-2011.
Very good. Thank you. He's also available to help with all the work. He's in the joint standing. We're supposed to be having two committees in defense. There's the defense and the joint standing committee of defense. That the chair there has not been able to, she's the one that has been quite seated, but that gentleman is always helpful out of experience to help you with all the every information that is available. Mandy is here to manage all the work that they're doing. Is there anything? Are you right to let up? Are you catching
us? Thanks for your
concern. I have to be very much
concerned. Chair, I hate to raise this issue again, but could I ask you, in view of the fact that the Secretary of Defense undertook by close of business on Friday to provide this committee with a written report on shortages of pilots and has not done so, and in view of the fact that the Department of Defense said that they would or undertook to provide reasons in writing to this committee why the readiness briefing should not be an open session and have not done so, that you approach the Secretary of Defense and require him to respond on both those issues by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning so that we can discuss this matter at our next committee meeting. Thank you, sir.
No, I'll proceed.
I hate to be the problem child.
No, we'll be fine. That's what it means to make a vibrant committee. I mean, I don't have any... I will definitely follow up, even with the minister. So just ask that if the minister can come and see you before you go. As I've seen that I'm still waiting for her report. But as I leave this committee now, I'll be attending to them to see that can we have them here tomorrow morning. Okay. Have you left up?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we had a battery of questions on that day. Was it Friday?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you do remember them, but I do remember my questions, the questions that I asked just now, including how many pilots have we got, the gender and the racial composition of them. So I think when you ask official questions, we should also remember them collectively. We should not leave it to an individual remembering their own questions. Thank you.
I think that's why it's reflected in the report itself. That's a part of the problem. We have to make follow-up on that. That's why we're going to make this report, and they are also going to be able to see it. But you are right that within the committee, within the committee, the issue of being party you know, putting your party interests above the committee itself is something what we must move away from and work as a collective here so that we could be able to have a parliament that has capacity and we could be able to challenge the issues that we get confronted with. If we can work in that manner, would have better results. We'll be able to give you information, inter-exchange, based on the fact that we're all members of parliament and we want to achieve certain things within the committee. But we'll be able to work together in that way. We are correct. You see, there are issues, there are times that really get a party has to raise its own party interest. But if we could manage it more better in the committee, that it doesn't become so obvious that this is what your party has told you to do, and this is what you want to do in this committee to achieve that, then it's at the detriment of parliament and some other things. But if you find each other more in the committee and understand the issues commonly and where the weaknesses, we address them as a collective, we'll be able to move forward. And we'll do it for the broader interest of the country, more than the party itself. On that note,
sure, I hope that the Honourable Member is not suggesting that I'm acting in the narrow interest of my party.
No,
sure. I think that I'm acting in the broader interest of the standard.
I know you. I know you. They have to manage you now. But members, let me thank you for coming to the meeting now. Let's go and prepare ourselves. And tomorrow morning, we'll work on everything, recommendation, and bureaucrat. And we'll see what the type of report we're going to produce. At the end of the day, it's your report that is going to come to the eyes of the public. Thank you, Honorable Member. There's something to eat here. I have observed that you don't want to eat most of the time. I don't know. Are you slimming or what? But there is food for you.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I think we're going to.
You have to check with the staff here. There's a suggestion that there is a component of the committee must have the patient. We just want to talk about time. One below.
Thank you.